We're holding on Ches Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down the Amud, the line begins Hecha. We're continuing the discussion on why we needed a Gzeira Shava to tell us that if the Yavama is also an erva to the Yavam, that you shouldn't do Yibum and that you can't do Yibum and you don't need to do Chalitza. So the last thing we talked about then was that maybe we would say that even if there are two isurim involved, so what? Anytime you're doing yibum with a wife's brother, necessarily it means that one isur is being overridden, because you have usually she'd be an erva to you, but now instead you have a mitzvah to do it. So maybe you would say the same thing. If there's a second isur involved, big deal. And we brought what Ullah says in that connection, that when it comes to tumah, when it comes to a person who's when it comes to a tevul yom entering into partially entering into the azara, where a metzora stands over there and sticks in his ear, thumb, and toe. So he says, as it is, the Torah is always being matir one issur for that purpose, because usually the fact that he's a mechusar kippurim would prevent him from sticking anything into the azara, and here he does. So if he's also in addition a tevul yom, then it doesn't then we don't care, because there's no difference between one issur and two issurim. However, we said that that doesn't necessarily follow, because there's a difference what order the isurim came in, and there's also a difference. Ullah would be talking about a case over there where at least there was a moment on the morning of the 8th when the mitzvah, now Balkeri, was able to bring his korbanos. So if afterwards later in the day he becomes a Balkeri, that's one thing, but not when there was no shasa kosher at all. So we gave one answer. You're right, we would need the Gzeira Shava for the case where there was, in fact, that Shasa Kosher, where his brother married a woman, then died, then now the surviving brother married her sister. Midrabanan, he's not supposed to do that. Later on, we're going to talk about in the Masechta something called Achos Zekukosai, where he's not allowed to do that. But most of the Mechorishim explain that that's only Drabanan. So we'd be saying that now she's an erva to him, and therefore so we would have said that nevertheless the fact is the heter came first, so therefore we'd need the Gzeira Shava to tell us that now. So the Gemara continues, another possibility you could say why you need a Gzeira Shava to tell you that you don't do Yibum in such a case. Or in any case, when there's erva, is be boisema asya behekesha midrabiona. Another possibility is you could be learning it by a hekesh, as Rabbi Yonah says. Now, a hekesh, all this time we've been talking about, we're trying to learn from a binyan av, we're trying to learn from a kavachomer, we're trying to learn from this and that and the other, and all of them, all of those you can shlug up. But a hekesh, if the pasuk itself is telling you that two things are comparable, then ein meshivin ala hekesh, then there's no way of refuting that. So if we can show that there's a hekesh that we would have said says that arayas are suspended or removed when it comes to yibum, then you would have said it applies also to the chamesh esrei nashi. So midi Rabbi Yonah, do amr Rabbi Yonah v'itamer Rabbi Huna b'reid Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yonah says, or some say Rabbi Huna b'reid Rabbi Yeshua said, Omakra, at the end of the parasha of the Arayas, it says, Ki kol asher yasa mikola te'eva se'eva v'nichrusu. Anybody who does any of these disgusting things will get kores. Now, not by all of them does it say kores. There's different ones where it says, some of them it says misas beistin, some of them it doesn't say a penalty at all. So hukshu kol arayas kulam la'eshes och. So therefore, so as it is, you have a hekesh. As it is, you have a hekesh between all the Arayas. Now, in particular, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about when we bring the Tekesh again, it's regarding the concept of Ha'arah. Namely, there's two stages of Bia. There's Ha'arah, which is the initial contact, and then there's Gmar Bia, which is the full penetration. So now, by a Nidya, the Torah specifically mentions Ha'arah. The Torah specifically says, Esmekora Ha'arah, which literally means he uncovered her womb. So there, and the word hera is related to the word hara. So therefore, it means as soon as he starts the process of uncovering, meaning as soon as he makes first contact, we'll deal with later on in the Masechta exactly what the definition of hara is. But whatever the case, the Torah says already then there's kares. So we learn from that, since there's a hekesh at the end, that all of them are put together, kol ha'tevis eva, then that teaches us the concept of hara applies to all of them. So any one of the arayas, if hara is done already, the person is chayiv misa, or both of them actually, if they were both willing, or chayiv misa or kares or what have you, or chatas if it was b'shoigig. So we already have that hekesh. So now we would have thought that the hekesh can also be used. It would mean that there's also a hekesh between all of them and a brother's wife. After all, we have a concept called ein hekesh lemechza. There's no such thing as a hekesh by halves. If you have a hekesh between two things, it means they're meant to be compared as far as many things as we can. Well then, we would have said, ma eshes och sharia, just like a brother's wife has a heter in the case of Yibum, af kol arayas nami sharian. You would have thought the same thing is true of all the other arayas. Kosir rahmana aleha. Therefore, we would say that's why the Torah said, the gzeta shava from the word aleha, that we had all the way back on Gimel Amud Beis, and that we've been discussing for the last 4.5 blot. This is probably one of the longest sugyas in all of Shas. So therefore, see, you would have thought that, and therefore the Torah says the Gzeira Shava Aleha to tell us otherwise. But Omalei Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina, so Rav Acha Medifti asks, so we're saying we would have made a hekesh with Eishes Och. But let's consider Mechti. Let's consider Kol Arayas Ikulak Ushinu LeEishes Och. All the arayas we could in that parasha of arayas, you have many different arayas listed. And on the one hand, we can make a hekesh with a brother's wife, and therefore say that it's mutter in the case of Yibum. The ikolakul shinu la'achos isha. On the other hand, we can equally well make a hekesh with your wife's sister. Where the Torah says aleha, and we learn from the Gzeira Shava that since the other part of the Gzeira Shava aleha refers to Yibum, then it means that she's also even in a case of Yibum. So in that case, we have the same hekesh ki kol asher yasim kol ta'avos eila, which would tell us that in one way they're all that we would have said they're all like eishes och and should all be mutter. And the gzeira shava tells us otherwise. Maybe the other way around. Maybe we should make the hekesh with achos isha, and saying that. Or the other way around, we are saying that we're making a hekesh with achos isha because ultimately we're saying we don't make the hekesh with achos with eishes och. Your brother's wife is the only one, is the only erva that becomes mutter in Yibum. All the other ones that are not. Instead, what we're doing is we're making a hekesh between all the other ones and between all the other ones and achos isha and your wife's sister, and saying just like she is also in Yibum on the grounds of the gzeira shava of aleha, so are all the other ones. So why are we doing the hekesh like that? Mechti, let's consider. Kol arayas ikolak ushinu la'eshes och. You could make a hekesh with a brother's wife, the ikolak ushinu la'achos isha. And on the other hand, you could instead make a hekesh with your wife's sister. My chos is the actress la'achos isha. So why are you making a hekesh with achos isha and saying that all of them are also in Yibum, akshinu la'eshes och? Instead, make the hekesh with Eishes Och and say that all of them are and say that all of them are mutter when Yibum is involved. And the answer is the Gemara says two possibilities. One possibility is whenever we have a hekesh, which we're not sure if it's coming to tell us a kula or a chumra, we always say that it goes l'chumra. So therefore, over here, saying that the hekesh with the brother's wife would result in a kula, that you do yibum with any one of them, saying that it goes with achos isha, and saying that they're also to do chalitza or yibum, and that they're also to do yibum, and they don't have to do chalitza, is a chumra. So therefore, we make the hekesh l'chumra. You have the question. Rashi and Tosfos deal with the question elsewhere in Kiddushin. Isn't it also, what do you, doesn't there also come out a kula from it? The fact is, you're saying in this particular case, you're saying that the kula would be be that that you don't have to do yibum. The kula would be that you don't have to do yibum. The kula would also be actually on the one hand, it's a chumra in that kedush. It's a chumra in that kedushin. It's a chumra in that a child from such a union would be a mamzer. Suppose that a guy were to go and do yibum with his yivama, who is also his wife's sister. Let's say then the child would be a mamzer. So in that case, so that's the chumra. But on the other hand, don't we have a kula that yibum is not necessary? And that if we were to say that hekesh that she is mutter, then the child wouldn't be a mamzer. So one answer is in fact that the fact that kedushin are not toifis, and the fact that the child was a mam, the fact that the potential child from it is a mamzer, that's considered the greater chumrah. And therefore, so we're saying when we have the choice of how to make the hekesh, we're going to make it in a way that's going to result in that this kind of thing would result in a mamzer, and that's considered the greater chumrah over the fact that instead that you don't have to do yibum.
There's still a chance that the child is not a mamzer, midoraisa. We choose to make it chumrah.
So actually, the Avnei Nezer points out an interesting thing. It's not just that we choose. We would have thought to say that the reason why we're doing the chumrah is just to be on the safe side. The Avnei Nezer actually points out, when you get down to it, here, the fact is it does result in a kula in that she doesn't need yibum or chalitza. She's allowed to go and marry somebody else. So therefore, he says, we see that this rule of kula l'chumrah, l'chumrah makshinan, is itself part of the daraisa rules of a hekesh. And therefore, even though it results in a kula, but since it also results in a chumrah in a different angle, and we're saying that the chumrah of the potential child being a mamzer outweighs any of the other potential kulas, then therefore that shows that is valid even on a daraisa level. Otherwise, if we didn't say that, we would say that if we're only doing it because of suffix, then it would be like the sfeikus that we're going to have throughout our mesechta, we should need chalitza, but not yibum. So therefore it shows that it is actually part, it's not just that we decided, the Torah itself is telling us that the part of the rule of hekesh is kula l'chumrah, l'chumrah makshinan, and therefore that's what we do over here. So that's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding why we're doing the hekesh with the wife's sister is because in both cases you have two isurim. So hochatre isuri vahochatre isuri. Because in the case of Achos Isha and every one of the other and every one of the other arayas, you have two isurim. You have she's your brother's wife, and in addition, she's also some other kind of arayas. So therefore, so if we're going to learn by a hekesh, we're going to learn something that is subject to two isurim from something else that's subject to two isurim. Aval hocha chode isura, but when it's only a brother's wife, then there's only one isur. Utrei mechode lo yofinim. We can't learn two isurim from one and say that there's a valid hekesh between them. So that's another reason to say that if the hekesh is telling us that there's a similarity between all the arayas, it has to be a similarity between the other arayas, which all have more in common, namely that there are two isurim. She's your brother's wife, and in addition, she's also your daughter or your wife's sister or what have you, all the other chamesh esrei noshim that we said in the Mishnah. So therefore, so that would be a reason. So that's why we don't make the hekesh that way. So therefore, so we have the so what we're doing then is again because so for various reasons that we've said so far, one is because you could have a case where she has a shas heter, namely the case that we talked about earlier, the case that we talked about yesterday, where Reuven married a woman, passed away, then Shimon married her sister, which again Rabbanon would be also as a host of. Because on a daraisa level is mutter, according to everybody except for Reb Shimon, as we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. So therefore, and the Torah is still telling us by the Gzeira Shava Aleha that he still doesn't do Yibum with his wife's sister, even though she's also his Yavama. We're also saying that since we would have thought to make a hekesh with Eishes Och, then therefore the Torah is telling us the Gzeira Shava from Aleha to tell us that you don't. Ultimately, since we have our choice of how to learn the hekesh, so we say the usual rule applies. And therefore, what we do is we use that hekesh as the second stage of it. Once we establish that there is a gzeira shava, that says that yibum is also in the case of a wife's sister, then we extend that through the hekesh to all the other arayas as well. The Gemara continues. Rava Amar Erva Leitzricha Kra. Rava says, actually, so all this time we've been discussing the idea that if the Yavama is an erva of a different kind, that we do need some kind of Zeta Shava to say that she's also. Now Rava is saying, one second, when we talk about the actual erva herself, of course you don't need a posse. The fact that we have the Gzeira Shava that we quoted all the way back on Gimel Amud Beis from Aleha is actually not about her, but rather about the Tzara. Keep in mind that Tzara is not biologically related to you. So in the cases that we've had so far, for example, the case where since we're talking about Achos Ishtoi, so let's talk about that case. So for example, if we want to look in the diagrams, it's diagram 17, where Reuven is married to a woman named Oda. Shimon is married to her sister named Sila. Reuven also has another wife unrelated to them named Chana. And if Reuven passes away, then not only is Shimon not doing Yibum with Oda, who is his wife's sister, but also not with Chana, even though she's otherwise unrelated. So Rava is saying that's what the Aleha is coming to teach us, that concept. So Rava Oma, Erva Leitzricha Kra, you don't actually need a posuk that the Erva herself should be also in Yibum. Because we spent a couple of blot discussing what would give us the basis to say that an essa should be doicha loisase when it involves kares, and in the end we didn't really find a basis for it. But Rava is saying it's a given that an essa is not going to be doicha loisase that involves kares. So all of the discussion that we had before, Rava is saying we didn't even need that discussion. It's a very obvious thing that it shouldn't be doicha such a loisase. A regular loisase, for example, kalayim b'tzitzis, sure, but we don't have anything to tell us that it should be doicha one that includes kares, and therefore Rava says so it doesn't. When we discussed this point before about loisa seshiyash bekaris back on Daf Vav, we brought the example of kibud avveim, where we said it would be doicha Shabbos were it not for a pasuk, and the Gemara had said over there it's different there because it's hechsher mitzvah. Rashi had explained over there that hechsher mitzvah means when there's no other way to accomplish the mitzvah, and therefore so whereas Rashi had said yibum is not like that because there's another way to accomplish the mitzvah, namely chalitza. Instead of doing yibum, you could do chalitza. Tosfos over there had several questions on Rashi. One of them was because in our Gemara over here, Rava is saying as a blanket statement, "Ese is not doicha loisese sheyesh bekaris," implying it doesn't matter whether hechsher mitzvah or not. So Tosfos actually explains it the other way around. Kibud av ve'eim would be considered hechsher mitzvah in the sense you're not actually accomplishing the kibud av ve'eim there by doing the malacha. The kibud av ve'eim is the result of the malacha when you have the food that was cooked or whatever, but the actual cooking itself is only a prerequisite for that, as opposed to here we're talking about the actual mitzvah itself of yibum. It's not a prerequisite for anything else. That actually is the mitzvah. So over there we were discussing hechsher mitzvah is different, but now Rava is saying when it comes to the actual mitzvah, when it comes to the actual mitzvah itself, there's no question. Esse is not doicha loisas eshiyash bekaris. So therefore, Rava says, so when it comes to, let's say, your wife's sister, where the Torah makes it clear that there's kares for that, you don't even need a pasuk to tell us that she should be also. Ki itzirich kral amei setzara. Rava says the whole gzeira shava from the word Allah is only teaching us that the tzara, who otherwise is unrelated, and that you still are not allowed to do yibum with her, that's what we need the gzeirah shavah for. Tosfos points out that it comes out from that Rav, one possibility Tosfos says is, we learned before, we talked about yesterday, that Ula would say that when, once you're being matur one Isser, then there's no problem being matur two Isserim in order to accomplish the mitzvah. That's what he said in the case of the Mitzora, who also became a Balkeri and now should be barred from entering the Azara on two grounds, one because he's a Mechosik Kippurim, and two because he's a Tuyim, and Ula says, doesn't matter, once we already matter one of them for the Mitzvah to become Tohar, then we matter the other one as well. Tosfos says, one possibility is Rava would disagree with that. Rava would say, there's no true Isurim over there that you're being matter. There's actually no Isurim that you're being matter, because the fact he's not entering the Azara completely. He's only sticking in his ear, his thumb, and his toe. So therefore, that's not enough. So therefore, you can't say that you're being matter any kind of Isur in order to do that. So therefore, so unlike Ula, who says, you see that when you matter one Isur, you can be matter another one at the same time to accomplish a mitzvah, Tosfos says Rava evidently would disagree with that. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is listen, Tuma is Tuma. But over here, we're talking about two different, the fact is, the Torah tells us, a Tuma is not allowed to enter the Azara. Fine, you have different degrees of Tuma and different causes of Tuma, but ultimately, it's still Tuma. Over here, we're talking about two completely different Isurim. There's one Loises, not to have relations with your brother's wife, and another one that says that you're not allowed to have relations with your wife's sister. So therefore, so we're not going to say just because the Torah is matur one that automatically it's matur the other. And then as far as the hekesh that we said earlier, that Rabbi Yonah or Rabbi Huna Bar Rabbi Yeshua said hukshu kol arayos kulon la'ishas ach. So Rava says that no, it's very clear that the hekesh is talking about to aser something, namely to say they're all chayiv koris, and to say that hara applies equally to all of them. Not that we would have said that hekesh makes anything mutter. So therefore, all told, Rava says that to say that the erva herself in diagram 17 over here, Oda, that she should be also b'shimen, you don't even need a pasuk for it. It's obvious that the esse of yibum cannot be doicha the lois esse sheyesh bekaris of having relations with her. The pasuk, the gzeira shava that we were talking about before, is only as far as Chana, who otherwise is unrelated. So that's what Rava says. Erva lo tzricha kra. You don't need a pasuk.
Why did our gzeira Rava?
Well, that's what we're saying, because all this time we haven't really had any source to say that an esse should be doicha a lois esse sheyesh bekaris. We went through that discussion before. We didn't find any source for that. The most we said was that maybe there's a difference between hechsher mitzvah and not. Here it's not a matter of hechsher mitzvah. According to Rashi, because there is another way of accomplishing the mitzvah, you could conceivably do chalitza instead. And according to Tosfos, the fact is you're not doing yibum or chalitza over here. Then hechsher mitzvah means that there's a difference between the prerequisite of a mitzvah and the mitzvah itself. Here you're talking about the mitzvah itself, and there's no particular reason to think that should be doicha alois eseshi yesh bekaris. So you don't need a pasuk to tell us that. Automatically, we would say, fine, esa doicha loisese on the basis of kalayim betzitis, but not when that loisese involves karis. So erva lo tzricha kra, the ain esa doicha loisese yesh bekaris. Because an esa, because a lav that includes karis is much stronger than a regular lav. As it is, we had to find a specific source in the Torah that esa doicha loisese, a regular loisese. But where would we, on what basis would we say that doicha loisese sheyesh bekaris? Where do we have an example of that such that we would say that here we would have thought that it does also, and we need a gzeira shavah to tell us not.
You can just make a simple kal vachomer. That's what he's saying, basically, in essence.
Kavachomer would go the other way around. You'd say a lav, an esse is doicha a lav, is doicha a lav she'en bekaris. What would be the basis for saying that doicha a lav that contains karis, which is much more stringent? That's the opposite of a kavachomer. So Rava is saying, after all the discussion that we went through in the last couple of lat, we never did find a source to say that an esse should be doicha lois esse sheyesh bekaris. And in fact, when we got to the end of that part of the sugya on Zayin Amar Aleph The Gemara finally gave up on trying to find such a source and tried to find different reasons why we need a Gzeira Shava to tell us that that Yibum is also by an Erva. So now Rava is saying you actually don't need any of those. The fact that you don't do Yibum by an Erva is because there's no basis to say that an Esser. So now why do we have a Gzeira Shava from the word Aleha? It must be only because of the Tzara. Who otherwise, without that Zera Shava, there's no reason to ask her. She's not an Erva to Shimon. So that's what Rava says. Rava Amar Erva Leitzricha Kra. You don't need a pasuk to tell us about the Erva herself. The Ein Esa Doicha Eloisa Seshiyash Bekaris. Because after all, it is to have relations with Oda would involve Kares, and there's no reason to say that an Esa should be Doicha that. Ki Itzrich Kra Lameis Hatzara. The pasuk, the Gzeira Shava, the word Aleha, is telling us to answer the Tzara, to answer Chana in that example. So the Gemara says, "V'erva leitzricha kra." What, you're telling me that the erva doesn't need a pasuk? V'hatanya. But in the Braisa that we quoted at the beginning of the sugya, back on Gimel Amud Beis, we said, "Aimli Elohi." We started by saying that when the pasuk says "Isha alachoisa leisikach," and we brought a Gzeira Shava Aleha, so we would say, you would think that applies only to her, and how do we know that it applies to her Tzara as well? So it sounds like we needed the Gzeira Shava to tell us about her. And the answer is, Rava would say, Mishum Tzarasa. The Braisa doesn't mean that from the word Aleha, we would have learned her herself. It means that, how do we know that the Aleha refers to the Tzara? And the answer is because the pasuk continues Litzra to make it clear that it's talking about the Tzara. So the Gemara says, "V'hokatoni ein le'elahein." What about the same Bryce that continues that further on when it talks about the other Arayas that we learned by a Hekish from Achos Isha? It said you would have thought that it applies only to them. How do we know it applies to their Tzores as well? And again, the answer is Mishum Tzores Sehen. We don't mean that we would have thought that the Hekish applies to them themselves. You don't even need that. Rather, what we meant is that how do we know that the Hekish applies to their Tzores? So therefore, so Rava can still say the Braisa doesn't contradict him. The Braisa is not saying that we need to learn the Arayas themselves, the Hamesh Esrei Noshim, from the Gzeira Shava or from the Hekish. Rather, it's that we need to learn their Tzoris from the Gzeira Shava or from the Hekish. Tosfos discusses actually that the Gemara is going to go. We're going to go on to discuss Rava's opinion over here, and Tosfos actually says that Tosfos actually has an interesting expression at the beginning. Tosfos ki itzrich kra starts off with tema dehechi toi lemema de itzrich lemesa tzarat tefemin erva. How could Rava be making a mistake and saying that the Torah needs to say that the tzara is more also than the erva? Given that the word tzara, we're learning from the word litzra. So it sounds like Tosfos is saying that we're going to end up slogging up Rava and saying that what he said, that his limud is incorrect. We don't really seem to see in the Gemara, as we go through the Gemara, that Rava is actually being slogged up specifically, or at least I haven't seen it. But Tosfos is apparently understanding that the Gemara is going to end up saying not quite like Rava, and that we do in fact need to learn the Arayas themselves from the Pasuk. Anyway, so the Gemara goes on. Toshma, Rebbe Omer v'lokach ulakocha v'yibim v'yibma. The Pasuk could have said, now the Pasuk says, when the guy does Yibum, it says ulakocha loy le'isha, he should take her for him as a wife, the Yibma, and he should do Yibum with her. Now, Rebbe is pointing out, the Pasuk didn't have to say the hey by either one of them. It could have said, V'lokach loy le'isha, V'yibim. So therefore, instead of V'lokach, it says V'lokach ulokocha, and instead of V'yibim, it says V'yibma. Therefore, lesser tzores v'arayas. So that the two extra heys come to teach us that the tzores are also in Yibum, and that the arayas themselves are also in Yibum. So you see again that you need a pasuk to tell us that the arayas are also not like Rava, and the answer is ema lesser tzores shel arayas. Fine. What Rebbe means is that you need a pasuk to tell you need the extra letters in the pasuk to tell us that tzores of arayas are also. Someone says, "Well, trei kroy kanasiv light." What do you mean, Rebbe? Is quoting two words in the pasuk, ulakocha and v'yibma. My love chad la'erva v'chad la'tzara. So b'pashtus, one of them is telling us that the Erva herself is Osir, even though otherwise there would be the mitzvah of Yibum, and the other one is telling us that the Tzara is Osir. So then not like Rava. And the answer is, Loi, Aidi va'Aidi l'tzara. Rava could explain both of them are in fact referring to the tzara. Chad l'meisa tzara b'makam mitzvah. One comes to tell you that the tzara is also when Yibum is involved. V'chad b'mishrei tzara shaloi b'makam mitzvah. The other one is just the opposite. The other one is actually telling you that she would be mutter when there is no Yibum, when there is no mitzvah involved. Namely, let's say, for example, that let's say, for example, you have your wife's sister is related to is married to an unrelated man. So let's say, for example, if we look back at this diagram 17, let's say that Reuben and Shimon were not brothers. So now let's say Reuben is married to Oda, who is Shimon's wife's sister. In addition, Reuben is married to another unrelated woman, Chana. Now, after Reuben passed away, keeping in mind, if we say that Reuben is not related to Shimon, is Shimon allowed to marry Oda? Of course not. She is his wife's sister. She's an heir to him as long as his own wife is alive. But is he allowed to marry Chana? That we're saying that yes, the second extra hay in the pasuk is actually telling us that he would be allowed to marry her. There's no mitzvah of Yibum involved over here. She's not related to him in any way because she's only she's the tzara of his wife's sister. So when it comes to Yibum, then that would be also, but outside of Yibum, that would be fine. So that would be what the second one is coming to teach us, that the tzara is also only when we're dealing with Yibum, but not outside of that. My timer. Now, why would we say that? Because the yibim the yibma. Because ultimately, what are we saying? We're saying there's an extra hay on the word the yibma. So therefore, bimkaim yibum who da asira tzara. Only when yibum is involved do we say that the tzara is also shaloi bimkaim yibum shari tzara. But apparently, the implication is if there's no yibum, then the tzara would be mutter. So as long as, now obviously if they were brothers, then she's his brother's wife and she'd be an heir to him. But that's why we're talking about if Reuben and Shimon are not related at all. And the only relationship between them was that they're married to two sisters. So then if Reuben has a different wife, then Shimon would in fact be allowed to marry her. In other words, let's say there's no matter of Yibum at all. Let's say Reuben had no other brothers, or let's say Reuben had children, as the case may be. So therefore, there's no issue of Yibum at all over here. And Reuben is not Shimon's brother for that to be an issue. So then we would say that Shimon would be allowed to marry Reuben's widow, even though, or his second widow, even though his first one is his wife's sister and is an erva to him. The connection between the erva and the tzara only applies at a time of Yibum. So therefore, so if we learn it that way, then there's nothing in the pasuk that tells us that the erva herself is also in Yibum. And that's what Rava is saying. I don't need a pasuk for that. The two psukim that Rebbe is quoting can both be talking about the tzara. One to say that she's also when there's Yibum involved, and the other one to say that she's mutter when there's no Yibum involved. Amar Rav Ashi mas nisin nami deka. So in fact, Rav Ashi says, in fact, you see what Rava is saying from the actual words of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah started off by saying that these 15 women, the various arayas, pater their tzaris from chalitza and Yibum. Now the Mishnah didn't say they are potter from Yibum and they also make the tzores potter from Yibum. So Shmamina, that shows the Arayas themselves, there's not even a reason to say potter, that pturis, there's not even a reason to say the Arayas themselves are potter, as if we would say that we would have thought they're chayiv and Yibum, and therefore we have something that tells us that not. No, you don't even have that. To begin with, it's a given that the Arayas themselves are also in Yibum, as Rava had said. However, the Gemara says, Umayshna erved leitzrichakra. Now, so according to Rava, why would you be saying that the erva herself doesn't require a pasuk? The pastures you'd be saying, as we said before, after all, an erva is chayav koris, and therefore we'd be saying the essa is not doicha that loisese. Well, soranami loiti boikra, mishum de ain essa doicha loisese sheyash bekoris. Nu, shouldn't you say the same thing about the tzora as well? After all, after all, there is kores involved because when the pasuk says that you're not allowed, when the pasuk says, for example, that you're not allowed to marry two sisters, so it says you're not allowed to marry a second woman while her sister, your wife or your ex-wife, is still alive. So it said in the pasuk the word litz, it said in the pasuk the word litzur. It said that you have the word litzur, which implies the tzara. So therefore, so that means that neither your wife's sister nor her tzara is mutter to you. So automatically, therefore, we know that there's kares involved with her as well. So by that logic, you shouldn't need a pasuk for the tzara either. And the answer is Amalei Rav Acha ba Bibi Mar l'Ravina. Bibi Mar apparently was the name of his father. Anyway, so he says to Ravina, as a matter of fact, you should know, we in our yeshiva say in the name of Rava, you should know, as a matter of fact, according to Rava's logic, you're right, you don't need a pasuk for the tzara either. So in that case, what is the Gzeira Shava Aleha accomplishing for us? In that case, then, it's clear that the wife's sister herself is also, because it's a loises eshiyash bekares, and you don't need a pasuk to tell us that an essay is not doing for that. Well, the same thing is true as far as the tzara, because after all, the pasuk continues by mentioning the tzara with the word litzra. So you're right, we don't need any kind of limud to say that she should be also. Ki itzrich kra, rather the gzeira shava would be telling us l'mishri tzara shaloi b'makam mitzvah. Fakir, to tell us that when there's no mitzvah of Yibum involved, like we said before, Reuven and Shimon are not brothers, then you're allowed to marry the tzara. So all this time we've been saying that the gzeira shava aleha is teaching us an isser. Now we're saying, according to this version of Rava, that the first version of Rava, we said at least we're using the Gzeira Shava Aleha regarding the Tzara. Rav Bibi is saying that actually, according to Rava, you don't need the Gzeira Shava for an Isser at all. The Gzeira Shava, just the opposite, teaches us a heter that when there's no mitzvah of Yibum involved, then you are allowed to marry the tzara of a woman who would be an erva to you. Like in the scenario we said before, where she's a tzara of your wife's sister, and nevertheless, since there's no Yibum involved, you're allowed to marry her. My timer. Now, how would you learn a heter from that Zera Shava Aleha? Because Amakra Aleha, because the Pasuk is saying that the Pasuk mentions the word Litzra, which means the Tzara, and it's mentioning the word Aleha, implying Bimkaim Aleha Hu Da'asira, only when there's Aleha, which is the other part of the Zera Shava, or Kocha Loyla Yavama Yavai Aleha, only then Hu Da'asira, only then is the Tzara Aser Shaloi Bimkaim Aleha Shaya. When there's no Aleha involved, when there's no Yibum involved, then the Tzara would be Mutter. So by that logic, therefore, just the opposite, the Gzeira Shava Aleha is teaching us the heter of Tzoras Achos Ishtoi when there's no Yibum involved. The Gemara continues, Amalei Rami Bachama L'Rava, Eima Erva Gufei Shaloi B'Makam Mitzvah Tishri. Well, by that logic, then maybe you would say that the Erva herself should be Mutter even when there's no Mitzvah. After all, the Aleha refers both to the Tzara and to the Achos Isha herself. So maybe the Torah would be telling you, when there's Yibum involved, then Achos Isha is off limits. But otherwise, she would be Mutter. Gemara says, what do you mean? Valav kavachomer. What do you mean? How could you learn it that way? Shouldn't you make a kavachomer? B'makam mitzvah asira shaloi b'makam mitzvah shaya. You're telling me that when there's a mitzvah involved, she should be asir. You're telling me that when there's not a mitzvah is involved, she should be mutter completely, the erva. Amalei, so Rami Bachama says, nu, tzara techiyah. Well, prove it from what you yourself are saying about the tzara. B'makam mitzvah asira shaloi b'makam mitzvah shaya. The fact is, we just established that the tzara is mutter when there's no yibum involved. So in our diagram before, for example, Shimon is allowed to marry Chana after Reuven passed away, provided again that we change the diagram a little bit and Reuven is not Shimon's brother. So Shimon would be allowed to marry Chana because there's no mitzvah of Yibum involved. Well, so Rami Bachama says, by that same logic, you could say the same thing is true as far as Adar herself. Maybe she's only off limits when there's Yibum, but not otherwise. You want to make a Kavachomer, fine, but you see the Kavachomer is disproved by the case of the Tzara, which is also where there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but Mutter otherwise. So maybe say the same thing about the wife's sister herself. Amalei. So Rava answers him, Alecha Omakra, because of what you're saying, disprove what you're saying, is why the Pasuk says, Bechayeha says that you're not allowed to have relations with the sister, with the wife's sister, while the first woman is alive, meaning Kol Shebechayeha, meaning as long as she is alive. as long as Sila, Shimon's wife, is alive, then Shimon is not allowed to have relations with Ada. So not like you're saying, Rami Bachoma, that maybe Shaloi B'Makom Mitzvah should be allowed. No, that's specifically why. The pasuk is saying the word B'Chayeha to tell us not like that. Umar says, what do you mean? Hai B'Chayeha Miboyle L'Ma'uti L'Achamisa. What do you mean? The word B'Chayeha teaches us the fact that if Tzila passes away, then Shimon is allowed to marry, then Shimon would be allowed to marry her sister. When her sister wasn't also his brother's wife, because that's another matter. But if Reuben and Shimon were unrelated, then after Tzila passes away, Shimon would in fact be allowed to marry Ada. So and the word B'chayeha teaches us that. And the answer is no. Hahimi v'isha el achoisa nafta. No, that we don't learn from the word B'chayeha. That we learn from the fact that it says isha el achoisa, a woman together with her sister. So therefore it means together, meaning as long as one is alive, then the other one is off limits. So we have the word B'chayeha available to teach us, says Rava. Don't think like what you, Rami Bachama, are saying, that Shaloi B'makom Mitzvah, you would be allowed. No, you're not allowed. The Erva herself is off limits. Shaloi B'makom Mitzvah either, because she is your wife's sister, or she's your ex-wife's sister, as the case may be, as long as the ex-wife is alive. But for the tzara, you don't have that. Therefore, we're saying that would be mutter. The Gemara says, "Imi v'isha alachosa." What do you mean? If we only have the words "isha alachosa," havamin nisgar shashaya, you would have thought that if Shimon divorces Tzila, then he's allowed to marry Ada. Tamud loyma b'chayeha kol shebchayeha. So therefore, the pasuk has to tell us b'chayeha, meaning as long as Tzila is alive, the afagav nisgar shaloi. Even though Shimon divorced her, he's still not allowed to marry Ada. So we do need the word b'chayeha. The word isha alachosa wouldn't have been enough to teach us this concept. Ela omer avuna b'tachlifu b'shmei derava shrei kroiksi. So the answer is that Rav Huna bar Tachlifa says in the name of Rava, let's consider. You have two different psukim, or two different parts of the same pasuk. Ksiv isha alachosa le'sikach litzra. You have one part of the pasuk that says that you're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her sister, litzra, which implies that the rule applies to her as well as to her tzara. Then the pasuk continues to uncover her erva. Now it doesn't say erva's son, which would apply to both of them. It says ervasa, her erva, implying that we're talking about only one woman. So first the pasuk is talking about the wife, sister, and her tzara, and then it continues talking about only one. So what's going on over here? The word legalis ervasa implies one woman, not two. Ha ketzad. So what would that mean? Why does the pasuk begin talking about two different kinds of women, the wife's sister and her tzara, and ends up talking only about one? So it means b'makom mitzvah shtei nasuris, when there would be the mitzvah involved of yibum, then both of them are osur, because that's what we learned from the gzeira shava aleha. Shaloi b'makom mitzvah, when there's no mitzvah of yibum involved, when Reuben is not Shimon's brother, and we're talking about Shimon marrying, and we're talking about Shimon marrying one of Reuben's widows, he asur of etzaros muteres. Then the one who is his wife's sister would still remain also. That's what it means, regalas ervasa. But her tzara, Chana, in this scenario, would be mutter. So that's how. So Rava is saying that is how we would learn it. You're arguing that the erva herself should be mutter b'shaloi b'makom mitzvah. That is precisely why the Torah is saying regalas ervasa, to tell us not like that. But on the other hand, the first half of the pasuk, which refers to both the woman herself and her tzara, that would be talking about b'makom yibum. So the Gemara says eipochana. Well, in that case, we could easily flip it around. We could say b'makom mitzvah he asur of etzaras mocheres v'shaloi b'makom mitzvah shtein asuris. Maybe you could say the other way around. The when there's a mitzvah involved, then we say legalis ervasa, that only the erva herself is also for yibum. The tzara would in fact be mutter for yibum, and when there's no mitzvah, both of them would be also. The answer is imkain lo yomer aleha. In that case, we wouldn't need the gzeira shava aleha, because after all, we'd still just the fact that the two halves of the pasuk seem to contradict each other forces us to say that we're talking about two different cases. So if we were to say That in the case of Yibum, one of them is mutter, namely because there's a mitzvah of Yibum, we wouldn't need a Gzeira Shavah to tell us that. We ourselves would say that logically. The fact that we have to have a Gzeira Shavah of Aleha teaches us, therefore, that it's like we said, that only when there's Yibum are we saying that both of them are Osir. When there's no Yibum, then it's Sarah would be mutter. However, Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Mimai Dahai Oleha Li'isura, but still, how do we know that the Oleha, so in other words, what it means is also the Gemara is kind of undoing what it said at the top of the Amud. We started saying at the bottom of the previous Amud, on the top of this one, that the word Oleha teaches us actually a heter, that when there's no mitzvah of Yibum involved, then the Tzora is in fact mutter. Now we're changing that, and we're saying that actually no, the Aleha does in fact come to teach us an Isser, namely that the half of the Pasuk that implies that both the wife's sister and her Tzara are both Osir, that part is referring when there's Yibum involved. So it is in fact the Aleha is after all teaching us an Isser rather than a Heter. Well, but now Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Mimai Dahai Aleha the Isura. But after all, how do you know that the Aleha is coming to teach us the Isser, namely that the part of the Pasuk that says Isha Lachoisa Lesika Litzra means that both the wife's sister and her Tzara are both also for Yibum, and you're going to say that on the basis of the Gzeira Shavah from the word Aleha. Dilma Lahatera, maybe just the opposite, maybe the Gzeira Shavah from Aleha is coming to teach us a Heter. So we would parse the pasuk as follows. When it says the wife and her sister, you're not allowed to marry Litzra, and that includes her tzara, lohi v'loi tzarasa. That means that neither she nor her tzara is mutter, and that would be shaloi b'makam aleha. When there's no aleha, when there's no yibum involved, then both of them are also. Ava b'makam aleha shteyer mutaris. Adarama, maybe the pasuk is telling us by the gzeira shava aleha that it means that when there's yibum involved, then both of them are mutter. Fine, we were saying before, one half of the pasuk seems to be implying that both of them are also, and the other half implies that both of them are mutter, but maybe in fact the aleha comes to teach us that actually both of them are mutter. And the answer is, we still have to do something with the word legalis ervasa, implying that one of them is also. Even makam mitzvah shtein mutaris. According to your svara, you would say when there's a mitzvah, there's no legalis ervasa. Both of them are mutter. Each shaloyva makam mitzvah shtein asuris. And if there was no mitzvah, then it would be both of them are also, not just the one. There has to be a case where only one of them is also and not the other. And that therefore forces us to say that when are they both also, when aleha is involved, namely when there's yibum involved, but not otherwise. But not when there's no yibum involved, then one of them, achos ishtoi, remains osir, and the other one, the hutsara, becomes mutter. So in a certain sense, the Gemara has not really schlugged up Rava, but on the other hand, we did kind of abandon one of the points that Rava was making, namely that the word aleha should be teaching us a heter. So maybe that's what Tosfos meant when it said on Amud Aleph, Dehechi Toi Lameimar, that how could Rava make a mistake and think? And the Gemara explains that, and then Tosfos explains that maybe the stomach of the Gemara was misunderstanding Rava. So maybe that's what Tosfos means, because after all, we started at one point in the discussion, we said that Rava is telling us that aleha is coming for a heter, and we're saying in the end that no, of course not, it comes for an Isser. So Tosfos would be saying that's not Rava's mistake, that's the stomach of the Gemara misunderstood Rava to begin with, and now we clarified what he means. Okay, the Gemara says Gufa, getting back to something that we said earlier. So that's it. So we have a reason ultimately to say that we need a Gzeira Shavah to tell us that something is also when it comes to Yibum. According to everything that we had said up until Rava came along, it meant that we needed to tell us both the relative herself and the Tzara. Now we're saying in the end that we needed to clarify that the Tzara remains also. Because otherwise, if it wasn't the Makom Mitzvah, the Tzara would have in fact been Mutter. So in the course of the discussion, we said on Amud Aleph, Rebbe Omer v'lokach v'lokacha v'yibim v'yibma, that the Pasuk could have said v'lokach lo l'isha, and instead it says v'lokacha, Lakacha, and it could have said v'yibim, and it says v'yibma. So we said less tzaris v'arayis. So it comes to teach us that both the tzaris and the arayis are also for yibum, which we said on Amud Aleph. Actually, that Rava would explain that what Rebbe means is not tzaris v'arayis, but rather tzaris shel arayis, because Rava would say that one of those limudim is actually teaching us that the tzara is mutter when there's no yibum, which in the end, again, we said we learned it from a different place, so maybe that's also why Tosfos is saying that we kind of schlugged up Rava, because we showed that one of his assumptions that we should understand that the Braise is referring to only tzaras is incorrect. But now we have to ask, midi tzaras ksiva hacha? After all, it doesn't say anything in this pasuk about tzaras that we should say that the v'lok or lakocha or the yibma, that one of them refers to tzaris, but oid tzaris militzra nafta. And anyway, we're learning the concept that tzaris are also from the word litzra in connection with hachos ishtar. So the answer is, as far as the second question at least, we'll get back to the first question soon, the answer is litzra matikle rebi l'chidir Reb Shimon. So the answer is that Rebbe would say the word litzro in that pasuk about achos ishtar is not saying in general that the tzara is also. It's referring to a specific case that Reb Shimon discusses later on in Or Masechta, in the third parak. You have three brothers, and let's use the diagram for it. We have it'll be diagram. I'll start talking, and meanwhile I'll look for the diagram. So here you have an example where you have three brothers. Two of them are married to sisters. Both of those brothers pass away. So now what happens is, now the third brother. Each one of these women it's diagram 32 on page 18 of Mari Yabamas. So you have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Now, if both Reuben and Shimon pass away, now the question is, can Levi do Yibum with either one of these women? Each one of them is what's called achos zikukasa, as we talked about before. Namely, each one of them has a zika to him. Each one of them is his yavama, and each one is the sister of his yavama. So Reb Shimon says that actually he doesn't have to do either chalitza or yibum. The chachamim over there say that no, since the midaraisi he would do yibum with one of them, but midrabanan he doesn't because she's achos zikukasa. So Reb Shimon learns, why does he say both of them are potter from chalitza and yibum? Because he learns from this word litzra. He says that when the two sisters become tzaris to each other in zika, then you can't marry either one of them. So therefore, there's no yibum and no chalitza. So Rebbe would use the word litzra to teach us that. So that answers why Rebbe needs to learn the tzaris, that the tzaris are also for yibum from a different, in a regular case, from a different pasuk. Okay, but the question still is the first question, tzara hachaksiv. It doesn't say tzara in the pasuk over here. And the answer is imkain lemakra v'lokach. After all, we're saying that the pasuk could have said v'lokach, mayu or kocha. What does it mean when it says v'hei? It means kol heicha de'ikat trei likuchin. When there are two women available, de'iboy nosiv hai, de'iboy nosiv hai, and he could marry either one of them. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, you don't need to do yibum with all of the wives of the brother who passed away. You do yibum with one of them, it factors all the other ones. But when you could equally well do yibum with either one, then sharia, then both them are mutter. The ilav tavayu asirim. And the ulakacha would teach us when one of them is off limits, namely because she's an erva, then both of them are also. So Rebbe would learn the tzara from that. So it's true, it doesn't say tzara explicitly in the pasuk, but the word ulakacha implies that he has his choice of one of the two of them. Whereas in the case of erva and tzaras erva, he doesn't because one of them is off limits. And ulakacha, so that would be what he learns from ulakacha. And the yibma, then he would continue learning from the word the yibma would be, like we said before, the makam yibum hu da'asira tzara. Only when yibum is involved are we saying that a wakacha applies and both of them are off limits. When there's no yibum involved, shaloi b'makam yibum shari tzara. when there's no yibum, then she's mutter. As we said before, if an unrelated man was married to Shimon's wife's sister, and this unrelated man was also married to another woman, then Shimon would be allowed to marry her after Reuven passed away. So that's how Rebbe would learn from Lakocha and Beyibma. So the question is, would Abonon hi or Lakocha my Abule? So that Abonon who disagree with that, they say that you learn that the Tzoras Erva is also from the word Litzro. They disagree with him, Shimon. So what are they doing with the word Lakocha? The answer is they would use it for what Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina teaches. The word ulakocha means malamet shemegarsha beget machzira, means that once he does yibum with her, she's completely his wife for all purposes, and he could even, like any other wife, divorce her and remarry her. We wouldn't say, in other words, look, she was his brother's wife originally. You don't say that there still remains some residual aspect of erva, that because she was his brother's wife, and therefore once he did the mitzvah of Yibum, and once he divorces her, he shouldn't be allowed to remarry her. No, the word olakacha means that she's considered fully his wife for all purposes, like any other wife, and like any other wife, he could divorce her and remarry her. That's what we learn from olakacha. And biyibma, they would say, means al-kocha, means that the Yibum can even be al-kocha, even if she doesn't want. Nevertheless, so we said before, we learned previously on Daphdalid, that if she doesn't want Yibum, then because, for example, the guy is repulsive, he's a mukashchin or whatever, then fine, Beis Din is not going to force her to undergo Yibum. But let's say, for example, he does. Let's say he violates her. Nevertheless, the Yibum still takes effect. That's what we mean, al-kocha. So what would Rebbe answer to that? He agrees with both of those dinim as well. Where does he learn them from? The answer is, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina's drosha, that she's considered his wife for all purposes, even to the extent that if he divorces her, he can remarry her. He learns that from the word la'isha, that he takes her as a wife. And al-kocha, he says, mi'yivama yavai aleha nasa. He would say, you learn it from the word yivama yavai aleha, where the word aleha implies that before we use the word aleha for the gzeira shava, but we're saying that the word aleha implies that even it's against her will. One point is, a couple of achronim point out, the Meshech Chochma and some other, and the Tzava Kabbalah point out that usually the word in Torah, whenever it talks about a man and woman having relations, the expression is usually ba'el. Here is the only place, or one of the only place, where the expression is ba'al. So al implies sort of like a superiority, sort of implying that even if she doesn't agree to it, but the fact is once the bia was done, then it has an effect. So we learn it from that rather than from the word v'yibma, which the Chachamim would say means bal kocha. So they both agree with the din; they just learn it in different ways. Okay, so then we have to figure out what Rebbe is going to do with the word aleha, and that we'll deal with tomorrow, Best Hashem.